Like to turn to Romans chapter 1. Been looking the last few weeks at verses 14 through 17. Prior to that, we looked at verses 18 through 32 for I believe almost 2 years, but going into verses 14 through 17, we have God's remedy for verses 18 through 32, and the remedy, of course, is the gospel. And we've looked at the characteristics of the gospel. The gospel is distinct all other messages. It is very definite, very particular. It's of God, it's not of man. Paul made that clear in Galatians chapter 1. The gospel is not the product of man, not the true gospel. It is entirely of God. We've seen it as a message for all people. A message for all nationalities, a message for all classes amongst those nationalities. You can never go wrong declaring the gospel to any individual. The gospel also is, we see the setting of the gospel. Of course, it is set in the darkness of sin, and it shines forth as a light. The gospel is a message about a person. That person is Jesus Christ. You remove him, you have no gospel. There is no gospel without Jesus Christ. And the gospel is a message about the work that Jesus Christ did on behalf of sinners. And we're told here in Romans 1, verse 16, that the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. It's what God uses in the salvation of a sinner. No one is saved apart from God using the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we want to consider now that it is a message that brings satanic opposition. What we see in verses 18 through 32 is that cycle of satanic activity, and the gospel is the remedy. So Satan is going to oppose the gospel. He does so in many ways, of course. Notice if we turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, if it be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The saved are very much aware of the gospel. In whom, that would be the lost, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that are lost, which believe not. That's characteristic of the lost. And here's why Satan has blinded their eyes, lest, in other words, he's trying to prevent something, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, again, them that are lost. So from this verse, we see that Satan actively and adamantly opposes the message from God. He adamantly and actively opposes the gospel. The sinner is born ignorant of the gospel. The sinner is born ignorant of his or her needs. Satan seeks to keep the sinner blinded, ignorant, deceived concerning the gospel. From verse 4, we see that, again, Satan is trying to prevent something particular from happening. And that is, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. That's what he's trying to prevent. The light of the gospel shining unto them that are lost. So there is the light of the glorious gospel. And Satan, all the forces of hell, do everything they can to keep that light from shining unto the lost individual. He does this out of hatred for the gospel, but also out of fear that the lost will experience the blessing of the gospel. And he'll do everything he can to prevent people from hearing the gospel. He'll work very hard to keep people from hearing the gospel. He will do everything he can to prevent the preaching of the gospel. He'll do everything he can to get people to corrupt, to get the preacher to corrupt and misinterpret the gospel. A lot of things are preached in the name of the gospel that are anything but the gospel. Men will stand and declare that they preach the gospel when in fact they do not preach the gospel. Men will declare they preach the gospel who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They've removed the central message of the gospel and still have the audacity to declare that they preach the gospel. So many declare they preach the gospel, but they're just tools of Satan. Satan uses them to corrupt. Satan uses them to misinterpret the gospel. You often hear people say the simple gospel message. Well, it's not that simple. It really isn't. And people bringing in their corruption certainly brings more confusion to what is the gospel. So, because the gospel is not in line with the teachings, the philosophies, the ideas of the world, and because the gospel is in direct opposition to man's ways, the gospel is ridiculed by the majority of people. And the majority of people think it to be utter foolishness, the gospel. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21, begin reading with verse 21. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, that is the world by its own wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. That is, the world looks at that as just utter foolishness. To save them that believe. The Lord uses what the world considers foolish preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, this is a stumbling block. The Jews can't get past that. And unto the Greeks, the Gentiles, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, regardless of nationality, Christ is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The world looks at the gospel and thinks it's foolish. And churches, in order to appease those who think the gospel is foolish, they begin to make adjustments. And before long, they have a false gospel. All in the name of getting people in. You got people in, but now you have nothing to preach because you've corrupted the gospel. And that's where the religious world, much of the religious world is today. So the world considers the gospel foolishness. The world, for the most part, hates the gospel. It's very offensive to the natural man. Because the gospel is Christ Jesus came to save sinners. So man has to be confronted with a sin and that his righteousness is unacceptable to God. And that there's only one way to God. And man finds this very offensive. Today, the masses are frantically trying to fill the void. Fill the emptiness. Fill the insecurity that sin causes. And they try to fill these things with things that only increase these things. And they place their hope in that which is false. And they look for answers where there are no answers. They look for answers amongst humanism and intellectualism and pragmatism and materialism, and on we could go. And they reject the gospel, the message that is their only hope. And that's the world we live in. Satan does everything he can to oppose the gospel. But Satan cannot prevent the reception of the gospel. The gospel must be received, not just in the mind, in the intellect. It must be received in heart, where it becomes a part of that person. It has to be received. I didn't say accepted. People accept a lot of things. That doesn't save you. You must receive. Accepting Jesus Christ will not save your soul. Receiving Jesus Christ will save your soul. All you have to do is accept Christ. That's just another way of watering down the gospel. Because a lot of people accept what the Bible says about Christ, but they don't know him. You have to receive him. Big difference. So let's consider the miraculous reception of the gospel. If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see that in spite of Satan's efforts to keep the gospel hid and to keep the sinner ignorant and deceived concerning the gospel, again, he does everything he can to prevent the light of the glorious gospel of Christ from shining into the heart of the sinner. But then there is verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God. So there's Satan doing everything he can. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That takes us back to creation. God caused the light to shine out of darkness. How did he do that? He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Not difficult with God. Let there be light. And there was light. This God, a God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Creator God, hath. So let's just take three words now. For God, skip several words, hath. For God hath. In spite of what Satan does, this changes everything. For God hath. It's not the sinner has, God hath. So he's speaking of something that God has done. That means that God is the doer. For God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Satan does everything he can to prevent that light of the glorious gospel from shining in the heart. For God hath. But God has made the difference. Those who corrupt the gospel, they will use this illustration. And people say, "Wow, that's really deep." No, it's foolishness. Here's the illustration. God wants to save the sinner. Satan wants to keep the sinner from being saved. The sinner casts the final vote. Well, that gospel message is the sinner saves himself. For God hath. God has done the saving. And if anyone is going to be saved, it'll be God hath. Yes, Satan will fight hard. But he cannot overcome and he cannot stop. For God hath. So there's the unsafe sinner, living life under the dominion of an enemy power. He or she is helplessly trapped under the weight of sin, bound and trapped to a life of enmity against God, bound and trapped to a life of darkness and ignorance and blindness. Satan's doing everything he can to keep them there. Trapped in a life of rebellion and resistance against God. The unsaved sinner is bound and trapped to a life of ungodliness. To a life of unrighteousness. They're stuck. Stuck in the contamination of sin. Stuck in a life of spiritual bankruptcy and spiritual ruin and gloom and chaos and defeat. And hanging over their head is God's condemnation. The soul that sinneth shall die. And there is Satan. And there are all the forces of hell fighting fiercely to keep the light of the glorious gospel from the heart of the sinner. And just as in creation, God speaks, "Let there be light." And guess what? There was light. God hath. And there's nothing that Satan can do to prevent it. Nothing. Satan cannot stop God from saving the sinner he desires to save. He causes the light to shine. And the light of the gospel pierces through the prison walls. It pierces through the dense darkness and ignorance of the sinner and shines in the heart. And that light shines upon the fact that the sinner is a violator of God's holy law. Remember when that light first shined in your heart. For the first time you saw clearly that you were a violator of God's holy law. You may have known it intellectually, but the light of the gospel shines upon that fact. I am a violator of God's law. Guilty and bankrupt. Before God with nothing to offer. And the light shines upon Christ Jesus the Lord, making himself out of love for the sinner accountable for their sins. And the light shines upon the fact that he rose victoriously over death and the grave on the sinner's behalf. For God hath shined in our hearts. No one else. God hath. It's not the teaching of others. God may use the teaching of others, but it's not the teaching of others that caused the light of the glorious gospel to shine in your hearts. God did that. It's not your own personal study. God may use your personal study, but it's God who causes the light to shine in our hearts. But God hath shined in our hearts. He has shined in our hearts the gospel, the heavenly news that Christ Jesus the Lord came to this sin-cursed earth from the glories and majesties of heaven to save the sinner, and that he made himself accountable for the sinner's sin and paid the sin debt in full and died and rose again for the sinner. That's the gospel. And if he ever has caused it to shine in your heart, it still does. It still does. I don't believe that you can savingly receive the gospel and then deny it down the road. If you deny it down the road, it only shows you never savingly received it to begin with. So Romans 1, if we go back there, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For, this is the reason I'm not ashamed. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel's for Jew and Greek. For therein, that is the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the justified shall live by faith. Men, women, boys, and girls need the gospel. Doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter what their language is. It doesn't matter whether they be rich, poor, or in between. They need the gospel. Romans chapter 10. We read in verse 12, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's true today. There's no difference. They all need the gospel. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He goes on, he asks a question. How then shall they call and him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Isaiah 53:1, Lord, who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53 is the gospel. Who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the remedy. The gospel. Social programs are not the remedy for society today. The gospel is the remedy. Social programs may put a band-aid on a sore, but doesn't heal. Doesn't heal. The gospel transforms. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, here's why they give thanks unto God. Because God hath. Not because you have, but because God hath. From the beginning, chosen you to salvation. Now you can't get plainer than that. Through sanctification of the Spirit. That is, salvation is through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto belief of the truth, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God uses the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. People who are caught up in the dysfunction of society and the craziness of society, they need the gospel. That's what they need. They need the gospel. They need something that will transform their lives. And that's the gospel. And that's why we're to take the gospel to all peoples. Again, you may have different opinions concerning different races of people or different classes of people. And I suppose you can have your opinions. But if it keeps you from declaring the gospel to them, you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. There's nothing right about it. We're to realize that all nationalities, all classes of people, they need the gospel. That's what they need. We'll finish this series up next week. And we'll just look next week at an example of the gospel transforming a society. Let's look to the Lord.